Hello, I burned my tongue while testing some pasta. But stuff still happened. So what's up? We found the coolest rock ever. Humans have been around doing a lot of stuff, doing a lot of rock collecting, but we found the coolest of them. Ever. On Mars. Also possibly life on Mars, but the rock is more important. So a few billion years ago, Mars had like an atmosphere and running water and stuff like that. It is not currently a few billion years ago, which makes it difficult for us to identify life on Mars. We can't quite go to a telescope and just see like Martian Jeremy just sort of like splorking it, whatever that means. But let's talk about this rock. The Perseverance rover found a cool looking rock. It rolled over a rock that had some spots on it, and the scientists were like, that's a cool rock. It was cool enough that they looked further into it, and what they found was that those specks were actually evidence of material that is the output of a potential organic reaction. Essentially, they found some minerals, which to our knowledge can only be created one of two ways, one of which requires intense heat. The other is from organic interaction. And this rock was at the bottom of a cold riverbed, so it probably wasn't the heat. Now, it could have been something else that we just don't know about. We don't know what we don't know, but this is cool. They've been studying this for a year, and they are confident enough to say, like, hey, this might be the closest we have to confirmation of life having existed on Mars. The way that they could actually confirm it is by sending out a mission to bring back a sample and studying it. But we've been cutting a lot of funding to NASA, so that's probably not going to happen. But it was a really cool rock. Stateside! I already made a video about Charlie Kirk, and I'm not going to rehash too much here. There's way too much stuff going on around the world right now to be focusing on this one thing for too long. So real quick. Last week, Charlie Kirk, a popular conservative commentator, most well known for his Prove Me Wrong series where he debated liberals on college campuses, was murdered. Since then, there has been a massive amount of escalation between commentators calling for war, despite most elected officials saying that this was awful and then condemning political violence. After about a 2-day manhunt, the suspect was taken into custody by his own father. So the FBI didn't even get the guy, but that didn't stop them from turning around and having a press conference where they were like, we got him. I am not going to dive into the details about the suspect because, frankly, there's too much dust in the air right now. And I have seen the takes from all sides. This has been an embarrassing stretch for the news media. There have been so many things that have been published and retracted from institutions that I respect and have been shaken by. I usually give grace to outlets because, like, I know that they are just going through their filter of their editor, but generally have strict reporting requirements for actually saying what is a fact. And a lot of that has just been busted over this past week. And so until we have more concrete information, I'm just going to move on. Let's talk about that Venezuelan boat that we bombed. There has been new reporting around the boat carrying 11 people that the US military bombed, killing everyone on board off the coast of Venezuela. This was already kind of fucked. Like, this was already a thing where it should not have happened. The military does not have the authority to go after foreign civilians, period. But now it turns out that national security advisors have briefed the press in a closed-door conference about how the boat was actually headed back to shore. The boat was heading back to Venezuela when it was bombed. And it was bombed twice. Once to blow up the boat, and again to kill the survivors. This is awful. Like, it's awful. And international legal experts basically all agree this is fucked and illegal. Except there's not much that can happen. Like, the ICC, the International Criminal Court, one, can't really do anything about the US, and two, can't really do anything unless it's systemic, which it is, but it needs to be more systemic. Legal experts have drawn connections between this and someone like Rodrigo Duterte, who did a lot of extrajudicial killing and is now being held by the ICC and tried for crimes against humanity. So, like, that's kind of it. Like, we are still pressuring Venezuela a lot with military force, and that's weird. We claim that we are at war with gangs within Venezuela, which allows us to go to war with Venezuela because we say that their government is involved with the gangs, but we're not at war with the government, we're at war with the gangs. It's gross, and I don't want to go to war with Venezuela. What? Well, let's talk about Chicago, where it's gotten quite icy recently. ICE has landed in Chicago and has already started causing havoc, chaos, and already murdered someone. The Department of Homeland Security has launched Operation Midway Blitz, which, quick aside, the government naming a law enforcement operation like some kind of military operation with regards to one of their own cities within our sovereign borders is fucking whack. Just wanted to put that out there just as a little kernel. But anyway, they've been causing havoc. And no one in Chicago wants this. Silverio Villegas Gonzalez was murdered by ICE. He was a 42-year-old cook at a restaurant in a suburb of Chicago, and he was driving when ICE accosted him in unmarked cars. They cornered him in his car, got out, and started to approach the vehicle. Witnesses in the area described it as people thinking that it was a robbery at first. These men approach his car, start saying things at him, and he's not fully fluent in English, so he's like, what the fuck is going on? Who are these people in these unmarked cars? Presumably thinking it was a robbery, he hit the gas and tried to speed away, and in doing so, ICE claims that he dragged one of their agents, who then opened fire. ICE maintains that since he tried to escape and in doing so hurt an agent, that he is the cause of his own death because the agent used acceptable force. I would argue that Chicago doesn't want ICE there. And here's ICE in Chicago, and a man's already dead because of it. I learned from my Charlie Kirk video that a person having children makes it so that them being killed is completely unacceptable. So for those who need to know that number, the guy had 3 kids. Since the killing, local organizers have banded together and come out in force. There have been incredible demonstrations, and community organizers and faith leaders alike have made statements of unity. It's really been amazing in general, in all the places that ICE has been sent in force, to see people rising up and pushing back. It's almost like when people don't want an oppressive force in their locality, you shouldn't try to do that. It's almost like they didn't fucking vote for you. So far in 2025, 15 people have died in the custody of ICE. And this is only really on pace with 2020, where we had an excess of deaths from COVID. Meanwhile, the ICE raids are already creating a chilling effect for foreign investors. That raid on the factory in Georgia, South Korea's pissed. They recently published an article explaining what those people went through in ICE custody. They were chained up. They had to lap up water because they couldn't use their hands or feet. They had about a fist-sized hole to see the sky. They were held for days. They had one toilet, and the only real privacy was a sheet to go over the lower half of their body. These are people whose crime was some paperwork didn't have a certain check mark on it. I'm sure that'll be good for business elsewhere. It turns out you can hold criminal leaders accountable. Brazil has sentenced their former president Bolsonaro to 27 years and 3 months in prison. He was found guilty of attempting a coup to maintain power after the elections in 2022. Now, Bolsonaro has already said this is a witch hunt, blah, 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 etc., etc. The things that they say. Trump also was like, well, that's like what they did to me, which was also a witch hunt. But the wildest part is that U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio made a statement that the U.S. was going to respond in kind? Like, the U.S. was going to retaliate for Brazil doing this? To which Brazil's response was essentially, the fuck you on about? This is, as far as I know, the second former president just this year to go to jail in a country that's not the U.S. Someone tell Merrick Garland about this. Meanwhile, Israel has struck Qatar and they are not happy. Israel launched an airstrike against Hamas leaders who were in Qatar, which is a U.S. ally, and where some peace negotiations are supposed to be happening. Peace negotiations that were interrupted by hellfire. This got worldwide condemnation pretty much immediately, including from the UN Security Council, including from the U.S. The U.S., for once, agreed to vote for a condemnation of actions taken by Israel. Except, the condemnation letter specifically does not say Israel. It references the attacks, but it doesn't say who did it. It just says that the attacks are awful. Can't be too specific. Anyway, after the attacks, Trump was like, oh, well, that was stupid, and that won't happen again. To which Netanyahu clarified, yes, that actually may happen again if Israel wants to do it. So I'm not sure who's going to be sitting at the table with Israel in the future. The EU is already talking about trying to end trade deals, and more sanctions are incoming against certain members of parliament and settlers. So, like, maybe don't bomb everyone. That's been my strategy, and I've got friends. Speaking of friends, NATO is basically a country group chat. Several Russian drones were shot down and collected as debris in Polish airspace. This is the first time that a Russian drone has been detected crossing into NATO borders, and it's also the first time that a NATO member has fired ammunition in this war. Following the drone's presence, they invoked Article 4 of NATO, which you might not be familiar with Article 4. You might know Article 5. Article 5 is the, yo, you mess with my friends, you're gonna mess with the whole crew. It's that article, right? It's the one where it's like, you fight any of us, you fight all of us. My boys got me. Article 4 is, yo, you mess with us, we're gonna have a drum circle about it. We're gonna have a mixer. We're going to have a get together at the local community center. We're going to bring snacks and chat. Article 4 is essentially like, hey, y'all, this happened. What can we have a chat about it? Like, can we talk about what we're going to do? But it's still notable. It's a notable step. It's only been used 8 times since the formation of NATO. Not long after that whole incident, drones were then detected in Romanian airspace, and they actually gave permission to their fighter pilots to shoot the drones out of the air, and the fighter pilots chose not to minimize collateral damage. Russia maintains these drones were perfectly innocent. They had a great explanation. They were simply on their way back from striking Ukraine. It's just a return trip. Can we just borrow your airspace real quick? We're just gotta do some war stuff. It won't be a problem. Don't worry about it. All right, we're gonna talk Nepal, and then we've got so much cool technology shit to talk about. So Nepal, that was fast. Nepal essentially just had a revolution, like in real time. It's whack. Things got real fast. Here's a timeline. September 4th, the government of Nepal bans a bunch of social media apps. This pisses off a lot of people, especially the younger generation, who are already feeling like they have no real future. At the same time, a handful of apps are not banned, and so organization begins there, places like Discord. September 8th, thousands of people march towards Parliament. Cops open fire on some of the protesters, and 19 people die on the first day. That makes everything way worse, and in an attempt to calm things down a bit, they try to unban the social media apps, but it's too late. September 9th, Parliament is burning. The then Prime Minister resigns and escapes off the roof in a helicopter. A bunch of other high-level officials' houses are burned down, casualties increase. September 10th, things settle down a little bit. There's initial discussions between protesters, the army, and representatives of the government about what happens next. September 12th, former Chief Justice Karki is named as the interim prime minister and is the first prime minister of Nepal to be a woman. Notably, consensus for her appointment happened on Discord, which is just like that's now in their history. Like, that's gonna go in a book. The protesters turned around and immediately became a cleanup crew. They started to clean up their country and put things back in their place. As of now, the death toll is at 72, with a little over 2,000 people injured. The newly appointed interim prime minister is looking to do right by the families who lost people in the uprising. There are elections scheduled for March 5th, 2026, and we're just gonna see what happens. I do want to note that the people who were cast out of the government, the corrupt politicians that they rose up against, they're complaining and they feel that they should be reinstated. There, you did your best. If you like what I do and you want to help me keep doing it, and you want to help me not be beholden to like advertisers and stuff, head to isupport.dev. There are a whole bunch of ways to support my work. I've got Patreon, Ko-Fi, YouTube memberships, a merch store, but if money is not really an option, just sharing my content goes a very long way. Thank you so incredibly much for being here, and there's a lot of new folks, so hi. Let's move on. Technology. Okay, I'm gonna try to get through this without going too deep into each individual one, but I might, cause it's cool. There's just a lot of neat tech stuff recently. All of this has happened in the past like 5-ish months. First up, how do you wanna be powered by sand? A town in Finland is using a giant sand battery to heat their town in the winter. This just got deployed. Essentially, it's this device that's just a big silo full of sand and pipes, and it gets heated up by renewable energies. Sand is really good at maintaining heat without breaking down as a material, so they can heat this thing up to extreme temperatures and it just kind of stays there. So during the sunny and warm months, they can use renewable energy to heat this thing up, and it can stay hot throughout the winter and heat the entire town. Not like emanating heat from the one place, but there are pipes in it that can then take air, heat it up, and deliver it to places. That's rad. And like, there have been heat storage systems before, but this is sand. Like, it's pretty available and pretty cheap. There's still drawbacks. It's mostly good for heating. It's a lot worse to try to convert that back into electricity. It's not very efficient that way. But still, a single big thing of sand to heat a whole town, I'm genuinely floored by. Like, I had to double, triple, and quadruple check, because they're saying it can hold the heat for months at a time. That just, I can't reconcile that in my head. I guess the point is, who needs classic batteries when you can just use sand? Except, let's go back to classic batteries. You are most likely familiar with lithium-ion batteries, which power most consumer electronics. They're those good batteries that every once in a while explode. It just makes for a little, it's just a little fun, you know? It's a little side thing it does. So inside lithium-ion batteries is sort of like power sludge. And that's the thing that can blow up. I'm so tired. It's like the end of the day and I'm recording late, because there was like a music festival literally behind where I live. And so there was no way I could record. So bear with me. Lithium ion batteries. They are good, but mostly they suck and they blow up. So let's talk about how Ion Storage Systems is working on a solid-state battery that shows some serious promise. This is a Maryland-based company that is working on a solid-state battery. The idea is that instead of having that power goo, you just have like a brick of battery material that just holds power, like a power crystal. They should call them power crystals. If you need a marketing person, talk to me. Yo, they're power crystals, not batteries. So they're working on these power crystals, and they could be potentially up to 50% more efficient by size, and also have virtually no chance of just exploding. This could be transformative for a lot of consumer electronics and things like electric vehicle adoption and safety. There was a bunch of research into solid-state batteries years ago, but it kind of fizzled out because nothing really worked. But this company has been giving prototypes to the military and to a couple of private tech firms that have not been identified, both of which are giving good feedback. So you might have your very own power crystal soon, in several years. Power crystals! Power goo! Anyway, koalas be fucking. Did you know that koalas be fucking, and it's not good for them, because chlamydia is rampant in koala populations. Is this common knowledge? Am I just learning this? Scientists at the University of the Sunshine Coast in Australia have been developing a vaccine for chlamydia for koalas for like a decade. Apparently, chlamydia rates in some koala populations can be as high as 70%. They be fucking. But chlamydia is bad and is threatening their entire population. So instead of trying to find each individual one with chlamydia and treat it, they're trying to make a vaccine and introduce that into the population. They did it. It got approved. Now they need money to actually distribute it. So that's what they're working on now. Hopefully that happens. Big day for copper alloys. Actually, huge day for copper alloys. Have you ever heard of a super alloy? It's like an alloy, but make it super. Super alloys are metal alloys that maintain their structure at incredibly high temperatures, very close to their melting point. Think like taking a bar of iron and you heat it up to near melting, but it still doesn't bend. Like, basically that. These have some very specific uses, but they are mostly made of... I'm going off my notes. They are mostly made of nickel, cobalt, and iron. Those are elements. However, nickel, cobalt, and iron are not as conductive as copper. But copper hasn't really had an alloy that can actually act as a super alloy until now, because Martin Harmer, leading a team at Lehigh University, has discovered a method for like atomically constructing stronger copper. Quote, "These tantalum bilayer complexions make the alloy so stable that it can be held near its melting point for over a year without losing its nanostructure. It's unprecedented for copper." Essentially, they wanted a more conductive superalloy option, and they went down to the atomic level and analyzed the structure of the materials and effectively used the flaws in the structures to create reinforcement points. If you think about, like, how can I even describe this? Think about a stick, and you take it and you go to bend it, and as you're starting to bend it, bits and pieces of it begin to crack and spike up. That stick is pretty weak, right? Like, you bend it and it cracks at its fractures. What if instead of cracking at its fractures, you reinforce all those points and now it's really strong? So you go to bend it and it doesn't. That's the end of the analogy. I did a great job with it. So how does this help us? I don't know. But it's being hailed as one of the top 10 scientific discoveries of the year. Last thing for science, let's talk about flamethrowers. Let's talk about plasma flamethrowers specifically. Let's talk about plasma flamethrowers that recycle plastic specifically. Engineering researchers in South Korea made a plasma torch that is capable of taking plastic and breaking it down into core components to be reused and recycled. They are able to take some plastic scraps, put it in their machine, and in just 0.01 seconds, it's exposed to so much energy that the plastic just breaks down back to its base components. This is still nascent, it's not quite industrial grade, and it won't be for several years still, but if it's powered by renewable energies, it could be a completely zero-emission method of recycling plastics. The only other zero-emission method of recycling plastics is me. Gaming. Nintendo did a Nintendo Direct, and holy shit, new Fire Emblem. They're making a new Fire Emblem. Did you see they're making a new Fire Emblem? Allow me to talk at you about Fire Emblem. No? Don't click away. My retention stats. Wait! Nintendo did a Nintendo Direct. They announced a whole bunch of stuff. Here are a few highlights. The Fire Emblem game. All right. Metroid Prime 4 is going to be released on December 4th, 2025. It's finally happening. They are releasing a bundle of Mario Galaxy and Mario Galaxy 2 as a re-release. They announced the sequel to the Super Mario movie called the Super Mario Galaxy movie. There's gonna be a new Mario Tennis, which I want to highlight because I just have like a weird affinity for Mario Tennis. I specifically loved Mario Tennis 64. I don't know why. There's a whole bunch of more announcements. I've linked to it in my newsletter. You can find the links at there. And our last story for today, we're gonna talk about Sony pulling a Hasbro. Back in June in the UK, a video game reseller had his house raided by the cops and had some of his merchandise taken. The merchandise in question was a box of old Nintendo development kits for some old consoles. The guy was like a video game reseller. He just like collected stuff and resold it. And he went to a clearance sale for a Sony headquarters. He bought stuff ranging from furniture to boxes of old crap. And among them was this box of dev kits. So he eventually gets a prospective buyer that's kind of sus. And a month later, the cops show up at his house, arrest him, charge him with money laundering, and confiscate the box. There's an important detail here that clears a few things up, which is that those aren't Sony's dev kits. Dev kits are rented out. So Sony had those dev kits on rent from Nintendo and probably accidentally threw them out and then went to the cops and had the cops go after the guy who ended up with them because of Sony's mistake. This is all allegedly, I should be clear. It's just the current state of play, that's how it looks. I say they pulled a Hasbro because this very much reminds me of the time that Hasbro sent the literal Pinkertons to go collect Magic the Gathering cards that had not yet been released that accidentally found their way into someone's house. Imagine getting like shot because of an unreleased Magic card. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Stuff Keeps Happening. Head to skh.news for sources, bonus content, and more stolen paraphernalia from the Sony office. My name is Endeavorance. We'll talk again soon. Take care and be well.